Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Owned.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. It's Kelly. I'm solamento again. Brian is, Patrick, where is Brian?
Trip in the wild.
Fantastic, man. That's where he's at. So it's just me. I am here with Scott, the author. Please say hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Oh, I love it. Oh, this is going to be a good show. Now, Scott, how do I slaughter everybody's name? How do I say your last name? Is it
Stabile?
Stabile. Oh, good. I'm so glad that you said it because I didn't say stable. Oh my, how many
people
have said that?
Most people do say stable, which is okay too.
No, it's totally stable when you look at it, right? Yeah. Right. Okay, welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Kelly.
You are an author of Enough As You Are. Hold it up, man. Hold it up.
Oh, right on.
Come on, this is a labor of love. Like you did. Look at that. Enough As You Are. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Being Curious show. What are you curious about?
What am I curious about? Well, I'm always curious about the power of love and self-love in our lives and how that changes everything about how we show up for ourselves and other people in the world in general. What are you curious about?
Oh my gosh. What am I not curious about? Like, right?
That's a good answer.
Right? Like, I really, so as a mystic, you know, a lot of people look at what I do and how I look at the world in just this weird way. They're like, what? You talk to dead people and you do this and this and this, right? If you lean in through curiosity, people authentically, and I think that's something that you wanted to talk about today is authenticity. I think if you authentically go through life curious and willing to listen, it is so much more impactful. It's like, and you just saw me pause for a moment and then like, right. It's like with COVID and the decisions people made during COVID, and there was a lot of division. Mm-hmm. But I think if people came to the table with curiosity and truly believe that people made the decisions that they did because they were trying to do the right thing, right? And giving others the benefit of the doubt through that curiosity, the world would be a better place. Whether it's religion, whether it's politics, whether it's pro-life, pro-choice, like whatever big topics in the world, I think if people like actually leaned in to the opposing side and said, tell me more.
You're speaking my language.
Okay. Woo! Right.
Can I feel called to share with you something. I just shared this morning on Facebook, which is gonna, it's so in line with what you're saying, but it's gonna, hold on, actually, okay, instead of
say
that,
it. No, do it.
Okay, so what I love what you're saying about curiosity for me is also what happens when we bring curiosity to how we show up with ourselves.
Yeah.
So first I'm gonna read you what I wrote this morning that speaks to what you're saying. I wrote, again and again, we make ugly assumptions about one another and then shame each other based on these assumptions, creating more division and more war. Can we not assume the best in one another every once in a while? Can we not at least sometimes remember each other's humanity? Why is it so hard for us to give each other the benefit of the doubt? That's like just what you were saying.
Right? Like you can't make that up. Like, right? It just, whatever's going on in the world, if we just gave each other the benefit of the doubt. Now, let's know there are people that are doing some bad things, right?
Absolutely.
There's some people that have alternative motives. Like
absolutely.
It's part of life, like, right? But go.
No, I was just going to say, but in general, how we are showing up with people, it's without any sort of empathy and any sort of compassion and just a a compulsion almost to shame others and judge others and dehumanize others. And we see what that creates. And for me, you know, the work I do, the things I write about, it's really love-based. And what that means for me is ultimately what happens when we allow ourselves to align with the energy of love and show up from that place, even if we're in wholehearted disagreement with the person on the other side of this conversation, instead of automatically going to that place of shame and blame. What if we do what you say, give the benefit of the doubt, or at least consider that, or at least consider what might their lived experience be like or have been like that helped them arrive to this place where they're saying or doing these things that we find so abhorrent, or however it is we're finding them. And that's a game changer, you know? And what I wanted to say earlier also about curiosity, because for me, you know, Enough As You Are is really rooted in self-love and self-acceptance, and how do we change our lives by coming into a deeper, stronger relationship with who we are and more loving relationship. And one of the things that has served me so well in my life lately is getting curious with myself and getting curious with my path and with my mind, instead of when my mind is doing its insane dance, as all of our minds do, and it's in the self-abusive cycle, and it's just, it's trying to take me down. Instead of going to war with my mind in that process, what happens if I bring to my spiritual path curiosity, and instead of like, damn it, mind, why are you doing this to me? Or screw you, mind. What if it's just like, whoa, look at my mind now. That's interesting. Like almost a nonchalance. And what that does for me is it helps me create a bit more distance between who I really am and what my mind is thinking, instead of getting lost in this notion that I am my thoughts and I am my mind, which is wholly untrue. That kind of curious nonchalance is like, that's just my mind doing what every other human mind on the planet does. I do not have to allow myself to be defined by it. So I love the whole idea of bringing curiosity to our lives. It's not only a more gentle approach, it's also a much more fun approach and a much more interesting approach to life. So I'm all for it.
Thank you. And I got through the last couple of years through curiosity, and it made me appreciate people with opposing viewpoints and experiences than I had. And it made me actually listen and go, yeah. Oh, that's why they're feeling that way. Okay. And rather than judging, I'm like, good for you. It's such an easier way to look at things where you're like, okay, I get it. Okay. Like, right. Okay, cool. It's hard to rewire, because culturally we go into these roles of like wagon wheels, like we go into these old thought process. But if you take that step back and you're just like, huh, good for you. And it just, you know, as long as someone's not harming me in the process, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you're doing that. I don't know. Curiosity. And it's our tagline. And for not only like the show, but also, you know, Edge Magazine, where it's about being curious and be connected, because curiosity leads to connections. And I'm teeing you up to talk about your book. So tell us about Enough As You Are.
Enough, thank you for that tee up. I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying, though. It takes the air out of defensiveness. And I feel like, and also when you're curious, the need to be right typically isn't as strong. And it's that compulsion in us to be right at all costs that creates so much division and eliminates the possibility for real dialogue. So Enough As You Are is it's a collection of like short prose and poetry. Most of it is writings I've done over the course of many years that I've shared on social media, along with some new writings. And the book is essentially rooted in my strong belief that everything starts with self-love. Everything starts with our relationship with ourselves, and how we are in relationship with ourselves informs how we show up for everyone and everything in our lives. So, which is to say, there's great value in working on the relationship you have with yourself. And also, it's never too late to do so. You know, I meet a lot of people who tell me that they don't know how to love themselves and they don't have a good relationship with themselves. And that's the story for all of us to some extent. And at the same time, I mean, one of the beauties of life is understanding that all we ultimately have is this moment. And it's what we do from this moment on that will always matter the most. So even if your relationship with yourself has been crap for 30 years, here we are right now. What do you want to do from this moment on moving forward? And I get really excited about the possibility that lives in that understanding, that it's truly never too late to transform how you connect to yourself with willingness, with a commitment, and then with practice. And I think that we're actually all loving ourselves way more often than we realize, and we take those things for granted. You know, like every time you prepare yourself a meal, that's an act of self-care and self-love. Every time you dress in clothes that make you feel good, every time you brush your teeth, every time, you know, every time you're showing up for yourself in any way that is about caring for yourself, that's actually active self-love. And yet, so many of us are telling ourselves to different degrees, like, I don't know how to love myself. I don't know how to care for myself. And yet we're doing it all the time. So what happens? What shifts can we create if we stop taking those things for granted and instead start acknowledging them? And for me, I see everything as energy here. So that energy is going to attract similar energy in general. And if I'm taking the time to acknowledge my self-care, I'm that much more likely to care for myself as the day progresses. And any minute, literally, every 60 seconds I spend aligned in my heart and with self-love is 60 seconds that I'm not in my mind abusing myself in some way. So for me, it's all money in the bank. It all matters.
Well, I love that. And it's baby steps. So it's like, you know, we're in December and a lot of people do these New Year's resolutions in January and they think of these grand things that I'm going to do this and I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week and I'm going to eat organically and I'm going to walk to work and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What if you just started with wake up 5 minutes earlier than you normally do and do X?
Right. Whether it's, don't pick up your phone for 15
don't,
well, minutes.
Yeah, don't pick up your phone for 15 minutes. Or take a little longer shower. Or brush your teeth for 30 seconds longer. Or go take your dogs for it's funny, I have dogs and we have walks and we have strolls. So the walk is the actual proper walk that we take around the block. And a stroll might be just going down two doors and down so the dogs can just get this like little bit of this. Or go do some essential, like there's just like all these little different micro moments that I think people, they want to do this big grand thing, but the micro moments build momentum.
And absolutely.
It could be with the stroll. It could be like, we start with just going down two doors. And then the next time we talk a walk, we go down three doors and then four doors. And so there's just like these that, you know, I think people try to do these huge grand things. And then all of a sudden they just are like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. And then they just don't do anything more or drink one extra glass of water today. Like just one. It could be this big. It could be this big. Who cares? And just these like little different, turn your screen off. Like, oh my gosh, just throw your phone over somewhere else and not just have it here for just a moment. There's like these micro moments that people can then do and they build on each other.
Absolutely. That's just a great way to approach life in general. And then also, you know, a lot of the energy of this book and one of the core messages is that it is within us to show up with ourselves lovingly and with grace, no matter what choices we're making, which is to say that we are human beings and part of being human in this reality is often not showing up as you would ideally want to. And that's when it's so easy to get in the habit of shaming ourselves and condemning ourselves and telling ourselves we're lazy or stupid or ugly or whatever it is our mind is saying. And what I'm practicing at more and more in my life is understanding that it's okay. We're human. Like that's one of the refrains I say to myself is more often than ever is like, it's okay, honey, you're human. You're still beautiful. You're still worthy. You're still enough. And when you can build that voice, strengthen that voice inside of you so that no matter what you've got your back, the way you're able to show up for your life is wholly different. It's like the chances you'll take, the changes you're willing to make, those whispers your heart is pressing you to do, but your fear is saying, no, no, no. If you know that you've got your back on the other side of it, you're more likely to step forward in alignment with your heart, because instead of berating yourself, no matter how things pan out, you're going to be there to say, good job. You did your best. I love you. No problem. And one thing I really want to remind people of also is just that your worth is inherent. We have this deluded understanding that in order to be worthy, we have to have achieved something or be great looking or have a beautiful family or whatever, the most well-behaved dogs. And all of that is beautiful if it contributes to your life in a meaningful way. And it has nothing to do with your worth as a human being. Your worth is inherent because you were born. And when we can start living into that understanding, how we move through the world changes entirely. So that's really the essence of the book. It's a lot of reminders, not only of your worth and that you are enough, but I also write a lot about the things that I don't like about myself, and how do you bring love and grace to those things? And how can we just be with ourselves in a very real and honest way, instead of pretending that we're not who we are, or that we are who we're not, and hold space for who we are beyond who we've been conditioned to be.
You know, I think people feel that if you do something, and I'm going to put in air quotes, wrong, you're failing, and people are scared to fail. And what I try so incredibly hard, not only for myself, my family, my kids, is that there's always a learning and a gift in something, right? Mm-hmm. So just because something might go off the rails doesn't mean that, okay, what can we learn with it? And I'm married to a man who is such an achiever, and he really, excellence is, it's like the only option. And I think that's a lot of what he was raised. His mother, if he got an A-, his mother would be like, why didn't you get an A? And he'd be like, because I was in show choir and I was playing with my friends and I have a girlfriend and I have a job and I have this. And I wasn't worried about that A. I got an A-. It's okay. And he never got that it was okay. And he doesn't take feedback. He takes, because he's such a perfectionist, he takes any sort of feedback as criticism, and it's not his fault. I think it was just the way he was wired. And if he doesn't get everything right the first time, he doesn't, he gets frustrated. Mm-hmm. And even today we were talking about like self-love, just like, okay. And sometimes you need feedback to get a little bit of a tweak. And with my kids and projects and school and learning and all this, it's like sometimes you have to pivot, and it's okay to pivot. And it might actually turn out better by having that learning and that pivot than if you just made your plan and executed A plus B equals C and everything's perfect. That's not how life is. And it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay to fail.
You're supposed to go to page 33. Page 33 in your book. It was like page 33, and I don't know what's on page 33 of your book, but we have to go to it.
You're about to find out.
Okay, here we go.
If you had been ready to leave that unhealthy relationship sooner, you would have. The same goes for that miserable job or the spiritual community that stopped feeling like home or the addictive habit you couldn't quite kick. You weren't ready to walk away until you walked away. Why continue to beat yourself up for not having done it sooner? Sooner couldn't have been the right time, or you would have moved on then. There's no point in abusing yourself for having stayed in a difficult situation much longer than you would have preferred. What's done is done. You move forward when you're ready. And when you're ready and move forward, it can't be too late. It can only be the right time. Whoa. There it is.
Okay, we're done. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, it's time to move on.
Oh, my gosh. That was, it was really funny. You were talking, and I just saw the, like, 33, 33, 33, 33. I was like, okay, we're.
I love that. Nice.
That's amazing.
Thank you for inviting that. I appreciate it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I loved how you said it. Talk to me about forgiveness of ourselves and others.
Wow. You know, for me, forgiveness is love. So I'm not somebody, look, it's one of the most provocative things I talk about for people, especially in my workshops. No one wants to be told that you have to forgive anyone for anything, especially if they're committed to not forgiving. So yeah. I'm not here to tell anyone to do anything they don't want to do. And at the same time, for me, forgiveness is a path to freedom. And the way that I get to forgiveness, I don't see things as unforgivable. It's not how I reflect on life. And the way I found myself I found forgiveness is always with empathy. That is for me the path that gets you there. It's my willingness, because forgiveness isn't something you can just choose out of the sky. You can't just decide I'm going to forgive and then suddenly you forgive. Generally, it can take work. Empathy is actually something you can choose to do. Empathy for me is just being intentional about doing my best to put myself in another person's shoes, doing my best to imagine what their lived experience is like, why they showed up the way they showed up, why they might have said what they said that upset me so much. And the moment we take the time to really empathize with other human beings is the moment that we're more likely to find compassion for them. Because instead of just connecting to them through what they did, we start to connect to their humanity in a different way. And when we start to do that, what naturally happens, at least for me, is that my heart opens.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, maybe their action was crap and it hurt me. And yet, look at them. Look what they were going through in that moment. Look at the life that they've led. Look at how hard this time in their life was for them. And suddenly I start to melt a bit more into love. And every time we melt into our hearts, how we're able to show up for others and what we're able to see in others and feel about others changes entirely. And it's not something that we can do in the same way when we're lost in our mind and when we're lost in the judgment or the hurt or the blame or whatever else it is that prevents us from in any way connecting with the possibility of forgiveness of other people.
So our next edition of Edge Magazine is on the Ho'oponopono Hawaiian prayer.
Oh, beautiful. Right? Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
I had an issue with forgiveness, and we can do a show all about that.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Oh, yeah.
Really blockish. So for me to hold the mirror up and go, we're gonna lean into Ho'oponopono. And I went and got certified in it, and it's a mantra that I invite all the time. And it was, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. And I had forgiveness in there, and finally someone, because I was like, I don't like forgiveness. And but someone was like, and I'm like, I like compassion much better than forgiveness. And they're like, but you like the Ho'oponopono prayer, and you're certified in it. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, it's different. And then they looked at me, and bless them. They're like, is it really? And I was like, and it made me have that moment.
Yeah.
And then it starts with me, and it starts with us. Yeah. And it is freeing. When you, and it's like, oh, so we leaned into Ho'oponopono. I'm actually going to get my first tattoo, and it's going to be Ho'oponopono. And
beautiful. Where are you going to get it?
On my arm. I haven't figured out, like, anybody that wants to, like, give me feedback, I'm either right here on my arm or right here on my arm. I haven't figured it out yet. Like, this is my first tattoo. It'll be, oh gosh.
That's
like,
exciting.
This is like the first, and I hate needles. Like, I was the girl that sold medical equipment, and I'd be with lab managers, and they'd be talking about IVs and needles, and I'd be in the room just like, like sweating and breathing through it. So this is going to be an interesting one. Everyone stay tuned. It's going to be good. But yeah, the Ho'oponopono prayer is really magnificent on many different levels.
Yeah. And it's like you said, forgiveness is freedom. I mean, that's really what I see, what I feel about forgiveness is it untethers us from that action, from the toxicity that we feel about that action or that person. Forgiveness cuts that cord and frees us. It's funny because people will argue till their last breath why they're not going to forgive. And you feel in them this like intense tension around it. And I think like, okay. And there is a pathway that frees us from feeling that way. And I'm all for it personally.
Yeah. Well, Kelly had to look in the mirror on that one. So I'm just like,
it's not easy.
No.
Yeah. But it's worthwhile. I've never regretted forgiving someone. Let's put it that way.
You're right on, man. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
How do people find you?
You can find me at scottstabile.com. You can find me at Facebook, Instagram. I have a newsletter on Substack with new writing and stuff. If you want to get my newsletter there, you can do it there. Come to Bali. My buddy David Gandelman and I next May are leading a retreat in Bali. It's going to be fabulous breathwork, meditation, writing. So, and it's Bali.
And even, I mean, if it, like, were
nothing,
and
even
it's
if it's
Bali,
just come to Bali.
Just come to, like, Bali. Well, yeah, if you need a psychic medium to come and hang out in Bali, I'll totally
Maybe.
Be there.
Thank you. Thank you for putting that out there.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. The book is Enough As You Are. I'm assuming available at bookstores, Amazon. Just find it. Get it.
Find it. Yeah.
Be it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today. Scott, you are amazing, and I can't wait to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, you guys, it's the Being Curious Show. I'm Kelly. That's Scott. Mahalo.